Happy Wednesday, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for Wednesday, December 11, 2019. We're reading to you from our studio located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. My name is Peggy, and my partner at the microphone is Doug. We'll start with a look at today's weather and headlines from the front page. First, Lair Cripe honored. Webster County men saved Paul Ross from burning car. Next, new cooperative gives out 1,200 holiday hams. Next, Yang begins Iowa bus tour. And finally, Tree of Hope, Kemna Auto Lions Club distribute gifts. Today's weather forecast calls for a high of 14 degrees with a low of 13. You can expect mostly sunny skies with a north wind of 6 to 10 miles per hour and wind chill values as low as 5 below zero. And now here's Doug with our first article.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. The first article is by Chad Thompson. While others stood by and watched as an SUV with occupants caught fire in a ditch near Colville, Greg Lear of Callender and Ryan Cripe of Fort Dodge risked their lives to rescue a man from the burning vehicle. These guys went above and beyond, said Webster County Sheriff's Deputy Amy Stringer, who helped investigate the January 12, 2019 crash. The vehicle was on fire. Pieces of the burning vehicle were actually dripping on them as they were pulling the man out. He would not be here today if it was not for them. The two Webster County residents were honored Tuesday at the state capitol with Governor's Lifesaving with Valor Awards, which Stringer said is the highest honor for the Lifesaving Awards. This continues. Governor Kim Reynolds and Iowa Department of Public Safety Commissioner Stephen Bayens presented the awards. On the night of the crash, which occurred about 5 p.m., Lear said he was driving to a rifle shooting league with his wife and niece. The crash happened on a curving section of Webster County Road P-59 between U.S. Highway 20 and Quail Avenue. We came around the corner and saw a car with a fire underneath of it and people standing on the road, Lear said. I walked up and asked if there was anyone in the car, and no one was doing anything because they were afraid it was going to blow up. Well, I went out of my truck and grabbed the hitch pin off the back of my truck and started trying to bust the window and try to get the guy out. Not long after Lear was on the scene, Cripe arrived to help. He had just dropped his daughter off at a friend's house near Lehigh. As I came up there, they were working on trying to bust out the driver's side rear window in attempt to get driver's side door open, Cripe said. I didn't know if there was a child in there or what. A man, later identified as Paul Ross of Fort Dodge, was sitting in the driver's seat. His wife, Sheila Ross, was in the passenger seat. The Ross vehicle had slid sideways on an ice-covered roadway, according to crash reports. The vehicle was struck broadside by another vehicle and came to rest in a ditch on the east side of the road. Lear, an employee of Decker Truck Line, and Cripe, an employee of Mid-American Energy Company, the wind division, were ultimately able to gain entrance to the vehicle. We had to cut his seat belt, Lear said, which wasn't easy. Together, Lear and Cripe pulled Ross, who was incapacitated, from the vehicle. We did what we had to do to get him out, Lear said. He was a pretty big guy. It was something you never really prepare for. You see someone in trouble and you just hope somebody would be there for you. The men also tried desperately to help Sheila Ross, who died in the crash. But they were unable to free her. Life can change in an instant, Cripe said. Life is way too short. Cripe said his advice is to be of value when you can and follow your intuition. Tanya Ross, the daughter of Paul Ross, is grateful for the efforts of Lear and Cripe. I couldn't have asked for better people to be there at the time of when it was needed. Tanya Ross of Waukee said, they are my dad's angels, my family's angels. I wouldn't have my dad here if it wasn't for them. I will be forever grateful for it, and I know my dad is too. Nice.
Beautiful story. Next, Ham for the Holidays. New cooperative gives out 1,200 holiday hams, written by Kelby Wingert. More than 1,000 local families will have a holiday ham on the dinner table this Christmas thanks to New Cooperative. For the past three years, New Cooperative has hosted the Hams for Hunger event in partnership with Upper Des Moines Opportunity. The staff at Upper Des Moines Opportunity distributes 1,200 coupons to Webster County residents to redeem for a free ham, courtesy of New Cooperative. In our minds, we're in the business of producing food, and it's just a normal fit and a way to give back to some of the less fortunate people in these communities, as well as the need in Fort Dodge, said New Cooperative General Manager Dan Dix. On Tuesday, the day of the Hams for Hunger event, pickup truck beds overflowing with boxes of hams from Webster City Custom Meats sat in front of New Cooperative's main office on First Avenue South in Fort Dodge. People redeeming their coupons lined up in cars to drive through and receive their hams, while New Cooperative employee volunteers and volunteers from Upper Des Moines and the Fort Dodge Fire Department waited, ready to hand over the hams. Our employees do all the work, Dick said. They feel very good about doing it and seeing the reactions and some of the conversations with the people that we're sharing the hams with is kind of priceless for some of them. Every year we have people who tell us, we wouldn't have anything for Christmas if it wasn't for this. In addition to the 1,200 hams New Cooperative handed out on Tuesday, the company will be delivering more than 800 more hams to 17 food pantries in the 13 Iowa counties that the company serves. New Cooperative members and employees will also receive hams, Dix said. In total, the company hands out nearly 6,000 hams every year.
Mm-hmm. Third article is by Chad Thompson. Yang begins Iowa bus tour. Looks like we have a new, somebody else put their hat in the ring for the presidential. Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang believes every American adult over the age of 18 should receive $1,000 a month for life from the federal government. Mm-hmm. Yang, entrepreneur from New York, calls that policy the Freedom Dividend, another name for a universal basic income. And he said that income will become more necessary as he forecasts that one out of three American workers are at risk of losing their jobs to new technologies during the next 12 years. We are going to be talking to people around the state who feel like they are not being heard, Yang said to dozens of supporters gathered outside the state capitol on Tuesday. Young people, veterans, moms, families with children,
autism,
religious communities. These are the communities that feel like the 21st century economy is not talking to them, not working for them, is leaving them behind. He added, these are the people that are part of the reason why, even as we have record high corporate profits and GDP in this country, We also have record high levels of stress, anxiety, financial insecurity, even suicides and drug overdoses. These are the problems Washington, D.C. does not want to talk about, but we are going to leave them no choice. Yang's supporters wear MATH hats, which is an acronym for Make America Think Harder, and shouts things like humanity first. Zach Conroy, a student at Drake University in Des Moines, is one of them. Conroy said when he first heard about Yang's plan for a universal basic income, he wasn't sold on the idea. I thought it sounded crazy when I first learned about it, Conroy said. But then looking at the research and the data that Andrew Yang relies upon, his reasonings for it speaks to where I grew up here in Iowa and Indiana, states with blue-collar workers, manufacturers, truck drivers, identifying people who haven't been heard by government and then addressing that. He's the only candidate that's touched on those demographics. According to Yang's website, the Freedom Dividend would be funded in part with a value-added tax of 10%. A value-added tax is a tax on the production of goods and services a business produces. Yang says the tax makes it harder for large corporations like Amazon to avoid paying their fair share. Under Yang's plan, welfare programs would be consolidated. In other words, someone who receives disability would have to choose to receive that or the Freedom Dividend, but not both. The program would also rely on new revenue created by the dividend. Yang announced on Tuesday that he qualified for the upcoming December 19th Democratic debate. Joining him on stage will be former Vice President Joe Biden, Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Bernie Sanders, and billionaire investor Tom Steyer, and Senator Elizabeth Warren. I am proud to be the only person of color who will be on that debate stage, Yang said. Yang founded the nonprofit organization called Venture for America in 2011. That organization created thousands of jobs in American cities like Cleveland, Detroit, and St. Louis. Yang started his bus tour Tuesday in Des Moines. The tour includes stops in Grinnell, Davenport, and Ames. We're going around the state to talk about the problems that got Donald Trump elected and the problems that led Iowa to go to Trump by 8 points, Yang said. If you look at the national press, when they talk about Donald Trump, they make it seem like he is the source for all our country's problems, and we know different. The problems existed before Donald Trump got here, and it's up to us to shed light on those problems and solve them to move the country forward. That's what this bus tour is about.
Next is Tree of Hope. Chemna Auto Lions Club distribute gifts. Written by Kelby Wingert. The Tree of Hope's mission is to make the holidays brighter for children in need. The Tree of Hope is a project from the Chemna for Kids Foundation of Chemna Auto of Fort Dodge. Chemna took over the project about 4 years ago, according to Chemna accounting manager Marcy Welter. The project was originally called the Giving Tree and was set up at the Crossroads Mall and run by Audrey Best. In 2015, Welter approached Carrie Chemna, owner of Chemna Auto, to continue the tradition after she learned of Beth's 2014 passing. We try to fulfill what she started, and that's making sure each child has an outfit, a pair of shoes, a toy, a coat, hat, and gloves, Welter said. That is what she wanted. Families can pick up an application for the Tree of Hope at Chemna each year during the month of October. Starting in November, the Tree of Hope goes up at Kemna Auto and at Hy-Vee, filled with tags for local children in need. This year, Kemna Auto was joined by volunteers from the Fort Dodge Noon Lions Club to help organize and distribute the gifts from the Tree of Hope. During Tuesday's distribution at Kemna Auto, 282 bags of toys and clothes for local kids in need were picked up by parents and other family members. The retired teachers of Webster County Group were also there to hand out free books to the families. Fort Dodge gets a bad rep for a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of good, not only what's going on here, but everywhere, Welter said. It's a community effort to make sure that kids in the community have Christmas.
And now to the This Date in History article. First, a Messenger poll. They are asking, will you attend a Christmas concert this season? You can answer yes or no at messengernews.net. And this date in history. Today is Wednesday, December 11th, the 345th day of 2019. There are 20 days left in the year. Today's highlight on December 11th. In 2001, in the first criminal indictment stemming from 9/11 federal prosecutors, charged Zacharias Moussaoui, a French citizen of Moroccan descent, charged him with conspiracy to murder thousands in a suicide hijacking. Moussaoui pleaded guilty to conspiracy in 2005 and was sentenced to life in prison. And on this date in 1816, Indiana became the 19th state. In 1844, the first experimental use of an inhaled anesthetic in dentistry took place as Dr. Horace Wells of Hartford, Connecticut, under the influence of nitrous oxide, had a colleague extract one of his teeth. That was 1844. In 1936, Britain's King Edward III abdicated the throne so he could marry American divorcee Wallace Warfield Simpson. His brother, Prince Albert, became King George VI. In 1941, Germany and Italy declared war on the United States. The U.S. responded in kind. In 1972, Apollo 17's lunar module landed on the moon with astronauts Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt aboard. They became the last two men to date to step onto the lunar surface. In 1980, President Jimmy Carter signed legislation creating a $1.6 billion environmental superfund to pay for cleaning up chemical spills and toxic waste dumps. And Magnum P.I., starring Tom Selleck, premiered on CBS. It was 1980. In 1997, more than 150 countries agreed at a global warming conference in Kyoto, Japan, to control the Earth's greenhouse gases. And 10 years ago today, Tiger Woods announced on his website that he was taking an indefinite leave from golf to try to save his 5-year-old marriage to Erin Nordegren. However, the couple ended up divorcing in August 2010. 5 years ago today, an outbreak of the mumps, a highly contagious illness more typically associated with children, continued to spread throughout the National Hockey League. 1 year ago today, a Virginia jury called for a sentence of life in prison plus 419 years for a man who killed a woman when he rammed his car onto counter-protesters at a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. James Alex Fields Jr. received that sentence in July 2019. Thought for today is by a French philosopher, Denis Diderot. He says, "Every man has his dignity. I'm willing to forget mine, but at my own discretion, and not when someone else tells me to." Dennis Diderot.
Okay, and next is the community calendar. Fort Dodge Civitan Club, 7 a.m. at Zakir's. Guests are welcome. Golden K. Kiwanis, 9:30 a.m. at Tompkins Celebration Center here at Friendship Haven. The program is Lori Branderhorst, Harlan and Hazel Rogers Sports Complex. Caregiver Support Group, 10 to 11 a.m. at Elderbridge Agency on Aging at 308 Central Avenue. Blandon Memorial Art Museum, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 920 3rd Avenue South. Admission is free. Walmart Retirees Luncheon, 11:30 a.m. at the Sports Page. Webster County Genealogical Society, noon to 3 p.m. at the Fort Dodge Public Library, 424 Central Avenue, room 134. Noon Lions is at noon at the Lions Den. AA Eleanor Club, noon and 7 p.m., 12 North 7th Street. Fort Dodge Duplicate Bridge Club, 1 p.m., open game at Citizen Central. Nickel Bingo, 1 p.m., Multipurpose Senior Center at Emmitsburg. Bets Off, Gamblers Anonymous, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., Community and Family Resources, 726 South 17th Street, 576-7261. VFW Post 1856, 6:30 p.m. at Post Home. Open AA Meeting, 7 p.m., St. Mark's Episcopal Church, Fox Hall, 1001 South 1st Avenue. Narcotics Anonymous, 8 p.m., Serenity Hall, 518 2nd Street, Webster City. AA, 7 p.m., Open Meeting, 510 South Jackson in Eagle Grove. And now for announcements. Sandstone Prime Rib, cooked and ready for Christmas or New Year's dinner. Available for pickup now. Sawyer's Meats, 414 2nd Avenue South. You can call 515-576-5331. A whole is $180 and it serves 16 adults. And a half is $95 and it serves 8 adults. Beef jerky is $6, and gift certificates are available. Next is winter fun, dance and gymnastics, girls and boys age 3 and up at Hollingsworth, home of the champions. You can call 515-576-3279. And Zakir's menu for the week. Tuesday is lasagna. Wednesday is hamburger steak with mushroom gravy. Thursday is chicken a la king. Friday is fried cod. That's at Zakir's at 425 2nd Avenue South. Tom Thumb weekly special, chicken fried steak. Dinner is $7.79. Monday, December 9th through Sunday, December 15th. Tom Thumb is located at 1412 A Street West. Holiday special, Friends of the Library. Bookstore has hundreds of audiobooks on disc for sale for $1.25, located inside the Fort Dodge Library. And Tupperware Christmas open house, December 12th and 13th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., 2701 21st Avenue North, Levon Kaiser. You can call 576-6774. And sip and shop at Community Pizza, 2026 5th Avenue South, Thursday, December 12th at 6 p.m. There's 5 vendors and free hors d'oeuvres.
On the editorial page, keeping our patriots safe is crucial. Senator Joni Ernst is making sure that goal is achieved. Having military forces that are second to none is vital, not only to keep our nation secure, but also to make sure those allies that depend on the United States remain safe. In view of their crucial mission, the men and women who serve in the armed forces of the United States deserve the support, and admiration of all Americans. It is imperative that these patriots have the equipment and other resources to fulfill their important roles as easily and safely as possible. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst, who is herself a combat veteran, has made championing our military and looking out for the well-being of service personnel two of her top priorities in Congress. As part of the GOP leadership in a Republican-controlled Senate, and as a member of that body's Committee on Armed Services, the Iowa Republican is well positioned to purpose these goals. In November, Ernst demonstrated her commitment to and concern for our troops by visiting some of them who were serving in Kuwait and Afghanistan. She has developed a reputation for listening closely to what those individuals currently serving tell her about and their experiences and needs. With that in mind, Ernst has just partnered with three other senators to introduce legislation that will make service members, especially women, safer. Ernst is co-sponsoring with Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois, Martha McSally, Republican, Arizona, and Richard Blumenthal, Democrat, Connecticut, a measure designed to improve the availability of body armor and other protective equipment that is better suited to the full range of body types. This bipartisan measure is needed because studies have shown that avoidable injuries are occurring due to poorly fitting or unavailable protective gear. Women continue to make strides in serving in critical roles within our nation's military. As a woman who served in combat and commanded troops during Operation Iraqi Freedom, and with my own daughter who is going through training right now at West Point, I understand just how important it is for all service members to be properly equipped for the battlefield, Ernst said in announcing this legislation. Right now, female service members are facing injuries due to ill-fitting equipment. We must do better for our military men and women. The legislation will not only make appropriate equipment more readily available, but also will promote development of even better choices in the years ahead. It also sets out mechanisms for Congress to track the military's progress in implementing the proposed solutions. The senator and her colleagues view this legislation as important for the safety of women and smaller men and as a sensible way to enhance the readiness and effectiveness of American combat forces. The messenger agrees. We commend Ernst for working collaboratively with senators of both parties and advance this worthwhile project. Keeping those who serve in our military forces as safe as possible should be a goal all lawmakers share.
You're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. The Messenger can be heard daily at 8 a.m. and 3 o'clock p.m. If you have any questions or comments about our program, you can give us a call at 515-243-6833. And now we turn to today's obituaries. First, Marlis Tookie, Eagle Grove. Marlis Tookie, 81, passed away on Saturday, December 7, 2019, at her home. Marlis Joanne Shepherd Tookie, the daughter of Horace and Clarabelle Ropke Shepherd, was born on March 12, 1938, in Hazleton, Iowa. She was raised and educated in Olwine. In 1954, Marlis married Raymond Carlson. They had seven children and lived in Washburn, Iowa. After 20 years, they divorced. She married Bernie Holscher and was widowed in 1976. On September 1, 1979, Marlis married Vincent Tookie in Nashua, Iowa, and enjoyed 40 years of marriage. They lived in Eagle Grove until moving to Fort Dodge in March of 2019 to be near family. Marlis worked as a social worker in Humboldt County and as a preschool teacher at Eagle's Wings in Eagle Grove. Marlis enjoyed gardening, cooking, canning, raising chickens, and listening to country music. Family was the most important thing to Marlis, and she dearly loved all her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren with all of her heart. Marlis was preceded in death by her parents, son Elmer Carlson, daughter and son-in-law Joanne and Frank Teal, grandsons Jacob Thompson and Sean Teal, granddaughter Carrie Agason, and brothers Ray, John, Phil, and Rick Clendenin. Left to cherish her memory are her husband Vince, children Ray Dale Carlson, and wife Renee, Michael Carlson and Michelle, Jeanette Spencer and Kevin, John Carlson and Jennifer, Laura Thompson and Ron, Barry Tookie and Teresa, and Lance Tookie and Roberta, 67 grand and great-grandchildren, sisters Carlin Jewell and Sherry Zing, brother Larry Shepard and her fur babies, Buddy and Gunner. Funeral services will be 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, December 11, 2019, at Evangelical Lutheran Church in Eagle Grove. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. until service time at the church. Burial will be in Rose Hill Cemetery, Eagle Grove. Memorials may be left to the discretion of the family. Faust Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements.
Next is Ruth A. Olmsted. Ruth A. Olmsted, 70, of Fort Dodge, passed away Saturday, December 7th, 2019, at Trinity Regional Medical Center. A prayer service will be 2 o'clock p.m. today, Wednesday, December 11th, 2019, at Loffersweiler's Funeral Home. Burial of cremains will follow at Memorial Park Cemetery. A visitation will be from 1 p.m. until the start of the prayer service at the funeral home. Full obituary information can be found at LoffersweilersFuneralHome.com.
Kenneth J. Hansen Duncombe. Kenneth J. Hansen, 66, of Duncombe, passed away on Monday, December 9, 2019, at the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home. Funeral services will be held on Saturday, December 14th at 12 o'clock p.m. at Loffersweiler Seavers Funeral Home. Burial will take place at St. Joseph's Cemetery, Duncombe. Visitation will be on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. at Loffersweiler Funeral Home. Next is Urban Jim Lawler. Urban Jim Lawler, 86, of Clare, passed away Monday, December 9, 2019, at Friendship Haven. Services are pending at Loffersweiler's. And the announcements, funeral home announcements. First is Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. K. Neris Larson, 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at Badger Lutheran Church. In service to Richard Dick Holst. And Loffersweiler and Seavers Funeral Home, Ruth Olmsted, age 70, prayer services today at 2 o'clock p.m. at Loffersweiler Funeral Home. Visitation is today at 1 p.m. until start of service at the funeral home. Kenneth Hansen, age 66, funeral is 12 o'clock p.m. Saturday at Loffersweiler Funeral Home. Visitation is 4 to 7 p.m. Friday. Carlene Ellard, age 81, graveside services, 11 a.m. Saturday at Early Union Cemetery, Early, Iowa. And Urban Jim Lawler, age 86, services are pending. And now we'll move on to the sports.
And in the sports, this is St. Edmund's basketball. Back in the Mix by Dana Becker. Less than 2 weeks ago, Southeast Valley's Colson Cruz was being rushed to the hospital to have his appendix removed. On Tuesday night, the sophomore made his season debut in impressive fashion, scoring a game-high 17 points to lead the Jaguars past St. Edmund 56-45. Cruz, who averaged 8 points per game last year, accounted for 11 in the first half as the Jaguars, 2-1 overall, jumped out early. Aaron Graves, also a 10th grader, who has committed to the University of Iowa to play football, added 10 points, including a pair of three-pointers. We were getting ready to head out to a scrimmage on Saturday after Thanksgiving, and I got a call, said Southeast Valley's head coach, Kyle Johnson, who is a Fort Dodge senior high graduate. It's just great to have him back. He's a tough little guard that can knock down some shots and takes care of the ball well. The Gales, 1-2. Connor Bakken scored 17 points with Jed Tracy and Hayden Mayer adding 6 each. Mayer also grabbed 5 rebounds and Bakken had 3 steals. I thought we came back well, St. Edmund head coach Adolf Kochendorfer said. We just had too many turnovers. We had some chances, but we missed some good shots. I also thought Southeast Valley wanted it more. They were more physical than we were. We knew coming in that is how they would play. You can talk to the kids, but they have to go out and go through it themselves, try to figure it out. The Jaguars scored the first 8 points of the game and led by as many as 17 at 23-6 early in the second quarter. 5 different players scored in the opening 8. Where'd it go?
Down here.
Sorry about that. Let's go back to the beginning of that sentence. 5 different players scored in the opening 8 minutes, including Cruz and Robert Jepson off the bench. Jepson finished with 4 points and 7 rebounds, with Lincoln Miller adding 9 points and 5 boards. For one quarter, we look like we've been playing all year, Johnson said. The next, it looks like our first game out. It's just about building on the good things you do, watch film, and watch what you do wrong. The Gales were able to slowly chip away at the deficit, cutting it to 2 with just over 5 minutes remaining in the fourth when Drew Schaefer converted a 3-point play. Schaefer, battling a leg injury, had all 5 of his points in the fourth. We just didn't get over the hump, Kochendorfer said. We got some stops when we needed them, but we just couldn't make that next shot or the next pass. Still, I thought Hayden had some good looks. Kale Kalasha knocked down a couple shots, and Brock Stanek did too. We just got to look more at the basket. The Jaguars traveled to Emmitsburg on Friday night, and the Gales heading to Webster City.
And next, Ames Trips Fort Dodge Boys Late by Eric Pratt. On the surface, it may look like the Fort Dodge boys lost their game against Ames in the final 2 minutes on Tuesday night. Head coach Tom Daniel knows the Dodgers missed the opportunity to make victory a realistic possibility long before that. The Little Cyclones scored the final 8 points of the contest to complete their second half comeback, prevailing 47-39, thanks in large part to the aggressive play of guard Keyshawn Brooks. Brooks, a junior, worked off his early donut by tallying all 23 of his points after intermission. He sank 6 of his 10 shots from the floor, went 8-for-9 at the free throw line, and even drained a trifecta of 3-pointers for good measure, as Ames put up 38 second half points after registering only 9 in the first half. And that early stretch Daniel maintained was when his Dodgers let things slip away. The Dodgers went up 8 to 2 after the first 3 minutes, but managed only 2 field goals the rest of the half. Fort Dodge led 12-4 after Azel Thorson basket early in the second quarter, then had just a single point in the final 6 minutes and 36 seconds of the period. Sophomore Monterius Altman Abrams had 13 points for the Dodgers, and junior Dayson Clayton added 10. The duo combined to switch 6 triples in 11 tries, but the rest of the squad went combined 1-for-12 from deep. Fort Dodge's hopes were also crushed at the charity stripe. The Dodgers made only 4 of their 9 free throw attempts, while Ames went 18-for-26.
Next is the Dodgers remain perfect. Southeast Valley rallies to beat the Gale girls. The Southeast Valley girls have shown a knack for finding ways to win here early in the season. Behind strong fourth quarters from juniors Chloe Hicks and Emily Jasky, the Jaguars rallied to remain unbeaten Tuesday night, topping St. Edmund 42-38. Hicks finished with a team-high 11 points, while Jasky added 10, 6 of which came in the final 8 minutes. In every game this year, I've been able to look at the girls during the timeout, ask them to execute, and they have done it, Southeast Valley head coach Kevin Mills said. We've had that one big moment during each game, and I'm so proud of them for that. We are learning from our mistakes and getting better. Jasky knocked down 4 free throws in the final 2 minutes as the Jaguars, 4-0 overall, completed a rally after being down by as many as 10. This continues. Jasky also led the team with 10 rebounds, with Hicks grabbing 6. Emily is a very good coachable kid, Mills said. She is quiet but very competitive. She might not show a lot of emotion on her face during the game, but she will battle. For the Gales, 0-3, Leah Neverman had 14 points with 15 rebounds and 5 block shots. All of those were career highs for the junior. Cambry McBride added 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 steals, sinking 3 three-pointers. It's a growing progress, St. Edmund head coach Steve Neuberger said. We haven't been in a lot of close games or situations this year, but I feel like the girls really learned a lot about themselves. St. Edmund raced out of the gate, scoring 14 of the first 18 points to build a 10-point lead. The Jaguars, though, closed the quarter with a 6-0 spurt and continued to chip away at the deficit. Hicks and Haley Welter each hit triples in the second, with Welter's 3-pointer giving Southeast Valley its head lead. A putback basket by Neverman kickstarted a 7-0 burst for the Gales, who held a 24-20 lead at the break. Neverman had 20 in the opening half and McBride 9. Cambry played aggressive and really put us on our back for a while there, Neuberger said. Leah also played really well. She battled some foul trouble, but was big on the glass and knocked down some shots. Southeast Valley went ahead for good, with just over 2 minutes to go on the basket from Hicks, stealing the win at the line. The Jaguars were 13-for-21 at the charity stripe, compared to 4-of-6 by the Gales. All 4 of Southeast Valley's wins this year have been by single digits, as they have topped Ogden, Madrid, West Bend, Mallard, and St. Edmund. We've really benefited from being in those close games, Mills said. We are learning from our mistakes and not repeating them. Next action for the Jaguars will be a trip to Emmitsburg on Friday, with the Gales heading to Webster City that same night. The next article on the sports page is number 15, Ames, pulls away from Fort Dodge girls. The Fort Dodge girls are getting deeper into games with quality opponents. Head coach Scott Messerly knows the trick now is to not get discouraged by the end result during the next step in the growth process. The Dodgers pushed 15th-ranked Class 5A Ames to a first-half stalemate, but the Little Cyclones came out of the locker room on fire in the third quarter and pulled away to post a 60-41 victory in the Fort Dodge Senior High Gym on Tuesday. After an icy start in which Ames, 3-2 overall, missed 18 of its 23 free three-point attempts before intermission, the Little Cyclones began to work the ball inside out more instead of just settling for perimeter jump shots following the break. The result was 22-7 third period knockout punch and a 50% effort from distance the rest of the way. It's just difficult for us to maintain physically for an entire game against a ball club like that, Messerly. And continuing, Messerly admitted. They use five or six players who are at least 5'10", so they find ways to alter your shots and make you second guess yourself when you're trying to get to the rim. I was really proud of how competitive we were in the first half. We were matching them basket for basket. But I think we got a little lost defensively at times in that third quarter. They fed the post and kicked it back out more, and we kind of ran out of juice. It was 21-21 at the intermission. Junior Cheyenne Miller-Hamid finished with 9 points for the Dodgers, but made only 4 of her 13 shots after being repeatedly hounded on drives into the point. Aaliyah Palmer added 8, Troy Bennett 7, and Jalen Adams 6. The Little Cyclones tandem of Carlene Waite and Ashley Lyams did most of the damage, scoring 48 of their squad's 60 points. Wow. Waite and Lyams combined to hit 12 triples in 32 attempts from beyond the arc. We left Liam's alone too often in that second half, Messerly said. We did a better job of getting a hand on her face during the first and second quarter, but at 6-1, she's a tough matchup, and she got loose. Liam sank 3 of her 5 tries in the third period, then swished 2 more in the fourth for good measure. She was just 2 of 8 in the first half. An Ellie White basket put the Dodgers up 10-9 late in the opening quarter. Ames went up 19-12 from there, but consecutive field goals by Miller Hamid, a Palmer three-pointer, and Bennett bucket pulled Fort Dodge even. Last year, that 7-point deficit would have probably been 15 or 20 by halftime, Messerly said. We're making strides. We talked at halftime about doing all the little things and making sure we were crossing all our T's and dotting our I's. But we got a little more careless with the basketball and settled too much for contested looks the rest of the way. Part of the defensive issues were physical, but I still think we can be better if we compete a little harder and with more of an edge. We've got to get over that intimidation factor. The Dodgers hit the road for a contest at 6th-ranked Waukee on Friday. And if we can find the next article. Dodger bowling teams in action. The Four Dodge boys and girls bowling teams dropped contest against Des Moines Lincoln on Tuesday night. The boys, 0-2 overall, lost. Now these are points to points. The boys lost. They had 3,233 points to 3,007. The Four Dodge girls, 1-1, fell 2,631 points to 2,512 points. Three Dodger boys had over 400 series, led by Brady Graves, 439. Graves had games of 225 and 214. Carson Werning and Caleb Anderson both checked in with 404s. Werning had a high game of 224, and Anderson had 211. Also competing for the Dodgers was Kyle Davis, 378, Mitchell Bolton, 378, and Dodger Folsom, or David Folsom, 366. Davis rolled a high single game total with a 242. We are bowling very, very well. Anytime you put up 3,000 points, you expect to win, said Dodger head coach Nick Vinson. Des Moines Lincoln bowled really well, he said. You can be happy anytime you have three kids roll over 400 series and you eclipse a 3,000-point mark. We know we have a long way to go. We just have to get consistent. For the Dodger girls, defending state champion Leah Sank checked in with a 397. She had games of 181 and 216. Next in line for the Dodgers was Alexis Kenney, who had a 349 total. She had games of 182 and 167. Also rolling for the Dodgers was Kat Flores with a 335. Lexi Hansen had 327. Paige Copenhaver, 281, and Alyssa Lumsden, 231. The girls improved their scores by 50 to 60 pins, Vincent said. Lincoln is always a good team. They're a class bigger than us and have two girls that have signed, they have two girls that have signed to bowl in college. Okay. We are now here near our ceiling. Alexis Kenney came through and had a couple of big games. The Fort Dodge Junior Varsity Boys won 25-29 to 23-02. Jaden Ray bowled at 388 with games of 165 and 223. The girls' junior varsity team lost 1673 to 1589. Samantha Brennan had a 231 series. The Dodgers are back in action on Thursday when they host Southeast Polk. And we'll find, let's see, looking for our next article. Okay, Four Dodge Middle School wrestles in action. The middle school. Four Dodge Middle School wrestling teams competed against Ankeny Centennial and Urbandale on Tuesday night. Winning three matches for Four Dodge was Cal Hartman, Cody Hamburger, Dalton Wakoff, Graham Brookshire, and Jesus Castillo. Earning two victories was Braden Reimers, Drayton Miller, Josh Mazork, Kane Buttrick, Coy Davidson, Mason Liska, and Tyson Mikashel. Picking up a victory was Bo Cowell, Kale Pavic, Carlos Elias, Kevin Dobell, Carson Smith, Tanner Teske, Trayson Hill, Wesley Karshar, Andrew Ayala. The Dodger freshman boys lose to Ames. Fort Dodge freshman boys basketball team dropped a 45-42 decision to Ames on Tuesday night. Taiwan Isom led the Dodgers with 11 points, and Nylas Bohead had 10 points. The Gale junior varsity girls, they lose to the Jaguars. St. Edmund junior varsity girls basketball team lost to Southeast Valley 33-26 on Tuesday night. Avery Gallas led the Gales with 7 points, while Emma Alstott and Anna Kalasha had 6 points each. St. Edmund is back in action on Friday when they travel to Webster City. And the Gale Frost topped the Jags. Gale freshman. The St. Edmund freshman boys improved to 2-3 with a 49-41 victory over Southeast Valley here Tuesday night. Jackson Palmer scored 22 points. Colin McElroy added 13 and Caleb Schaefer 8. The Gales head to Webster City on Friday night. And St. Edmund junior varsity falls. St. Edmund JV boys fell to Webster City 38-30. Noah Simpson had 14 points with Quentin McCarville and Devon Wirtz each added 6. The Gales are 2-2 now. They're at Webster City on Friday night. Looking farther in the sports. The area girls roundup. The Golden Bears cruise at home. The Bishop Garrigan girls cruise to an 88-28 victory over Lake Mills on Tuesday. Kelly Beatty led the way with 25 points. Audie Crooks had a double-double with 19 points and 15 rebounds. Emma Fogarty added 10 points. And the Mustangs roll past the Indians. The New Ofonda girls basketball team earned a 78-23 victory over Pocahontas area on Tuesday night. Maggie Waller led the Mustangs with 17 points, and Macy Shivers, Bailey Shivers added 15 and 14 respectively. And now, the local weather forecast. Mostly sunny, high around 14 today and low around 13. Thursday is mostly cloudy, high around 38 and low down to 23. Friday is mostly cloudy, high around 42 and low around 17. And Saturday is mostly cloudy, high around 24 and low around 6. And that brings us to the end of today's reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger. We thank the folks at Friendship Haven for giving Iris a home in Fort Dodge for so many years. And we thank you for listening with Iris, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Wishing you all a day, a dream to bless, and a star to guide.